Hello and welcome to the month of March. This is your Newsmax Daily for Friday, March the 1st, 2024, the 61st day of the year, the 9th Friday of the year, and the countdown to spring officially begins today with 18 days to go. Hope your day is going well. Today is also hashtag Employee Appreciation Day, so hopefully your employer is doing something to show appreciation for all of your hard work today. Something that a lot of employers and companies typically do on Fridays, but hopefully that's happening. And there's a lot happening on Capitol Hill with the short-term spending resolution to keep the government open, passing the massive $95 billion aid package, and who will lead the Senate, all topics of discussion. Another police officer was killed in the line of duty yesterday, this happening outside of Kansas City. I want to talk about that. There's news in Georgia with the judge hearing arguments now on if the Fulton County District Attorney should be removed from the election interference case. And topping the headlines.
Nobody explained to me how allowing millions of people from places unknown, from countries unknown, who don't speak languages. We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them.
The U.S. Senate needs to reconsider this bill. And those senators who oppose it need to set politics aside and pass it on merits, not on whether it's going to benefit one party or benefit the other party.
Joe Biden will never say Lake and Riley's name, but we will say it and we will remember it. We're not going to forget her.
Yesterday's dueling border visits by Donald Trump and President Biden, who made only his second visit of his presidency to the border and was barely at the border, that in itself should be a big headline like, where have you been? This is Newsmax host Carl Higbee on Thursday's edition of Frontline.
President Trump is actually still at the border right now, but he just wrapped up speaking, and everyone in Texas was thrilled about it. Biden is also there, but he's literally in the Gulf of Mexico, like on the beach, nowhere near the actual illegal immigration points, just like his VP Harris did. Now, the Biden administration also conveniently forgot to tell the Border Patrol Union about this visit. And needless to say, they were really not happy about it. They tweeted, "Attention, President Biden, keep our name out of your mouth today." They then turned to straight hammering him after that, adding, "In an effort to invigorate him for his border visit, White House staff reportedly tells Biden that Brownsville is a new ice cream flavor." Pretty funny. They kept going, though. In a major Biden admin foreign policy achievement, Mexican drug cartels agreed to provide 3 illegal aliens at the border in Brownsville for a White House photo op. It's just so good. And then at Trump's side today, Brandon Judd from the podium and the Border Patrol Union dropped this hammer.
Sir, I want you to know your agents, my agents, they're mad as hell. Absolutely mad that President Biden went to Brownsville, Texas, rather than going to Arizona, rather than going to San Diego, California, rather than coming to Eagle Pass, Texas, which has been the epicenter.
This is the actual Border Patrol Union. This is not some random guy just floating around on Twitter. But let's break down why they're so mad. For one, this administration hasn't given a rat's rear about not only American safety, but the agents either. Biden and Mayorkas have basically neutered them and made them glorified babysitters rather than law enforcement officers. But thousands of illegal migrants just waltz right by them every single day. They can't do a damn thing. That's not what they signed up for, folks. Also, why would Biden's PR trip to the border take him to Brownsville? It's a beachfront city, like right on the Gulf. Well, according to the Washington Post, Brownsville is a perfect example of what migrants seek when they come to the United States, they said. They continued, local leaders and volunteers band together to help the thousands of men, women, and children seeking a new life. They continued, residents donate supplies and help orient the new arrivals on how to navigate their way to their final destination. First off, they don't get thousands of migrants in Brownsville, Texas. And second, navigate to their final destinations? Right. I see right through this. This means that these liberals do the same thing they did in Martha's Vineyard. They get them the hell out of there as fast as they can. In fact, here is the breakdown from this week right there. Brownsville apprehensions on the left there. They're not even in the same planet as Eagle Pass. I mean, Kittery, Maine. Maine has more migrants than that. 2,000 miles north. Eagle Pass is still getting massive apprehensions, but they're stopping them.
That's Carl Higbee, and I stopped it right there to read the numbers that he's showing on TV. The week of February 24th, this week, Eagle Pass, 500 border apprehensions, Brownsville, 6. The week before that, Brownsville had double the amount, 12 apprehensions, while Eagle Pass had 558. All right, back to Carl.
You know who wasn't there with President Biden? It was the governor of Texas, who, by the way, was with Trump. You know what Biden should have done? It would have been a much better waste of his time, I guess. Instead of going to a non-migrant beach town on the Gulf of Mexico, he should have just walked into Greg Abbott's office. Or, I mean, hell, he didn't even have to go to Texas. He could have picked up the phone and said, hey, Gov, you guys did a great job securing this section of border down in Eagle Pass. Show me what you did there. He'll never do that. Trump, on the other hand, went straight to where the problem actually is. The Washington Post also, again, noting, quote, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has transformed the riverfront community into a military front line on immigration. Razor wire and rusted shipping containers warn migrants to stay away, and military trucks and rifle-carrying troops occupy the city's biggest park. That's kind of what a border should look like, especially one with enough fentanyl coming through it to kill everyone on Earth twice. No? Trump didn't hold back when he was there either.
But this is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years. I call him Crooked Joe because he's crooked. He's a terrible president, the worst president our country's ever had, probably the most incompetent president we've ever had. But it's allowing thousands and thousands of people to come in from China, Iran, Yemen, the Congo, Syria, and a lot of other nations. Many nations are not very friendly to us.
Yeah. That's why it's a serious issue. I mean, the border is the most important issue in a long line of things that Joe Biden has completely screwed up in this Build Back Better fiasco. Most Americans are going to have that on their mind going to the ballot box. It's pretty binary. You have two choices. Do you want criminals, drugs, and unregulated migration, or do you want to stop all that?
Carl Higbee is the host of Frontline, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Seems pretty black and white, right? But there are way, way too many Americans in their comfy confines that have their head in the sand. Carl mentioned Governor Greg Abbott.
We have President Biden down in Brownsville, Texas, which was an obligatory visit by him. He'd never been to the border. In fact, I don't think he's on the border itself right now. He's in some sanitized location in the Brownsville area.
More from Rob Schmidt, host of Rob Schmidt Tonight.
The question is, are the American people really going to let this man get away with this? The gaslight being delivered by this White House on immigration is second to none. It is the worst of politics. It's everything you hate about Washington. They dropped a nuclear bomb on the border and sat back with the popcorn for 3 years as their own CBP and border agents did the soul-sucking work of trying to control a border while being sabotaged by their bosses every single day. That's the truth. 3 years later, the chaos intentionally inflicted on this country is now a political liability. Oh, a Monmouth poll has immigration as a top issue in November and Biden at 26%. I said it last night. You have to try really hard to get 26% as an approval on anything. And suddenly, what do we see? Joe Biden wandering around aimlessly in the bushes of South Texas, using note cards to ask questions to an enforcement and removal officer today during a casual meet and greet. This wasn't a press conference. He's talking to a border agent using note cards to have a conversation with somebody. That's the president of the United States, or so they tell us. Can't even think of one question to ask this guy. By comparison, a real president was 300 miles to the north and west in Eagle Pass. Trump in a sector that's seen 2,000 encounters in the last 5 days. The juxtaposition was incredible today when you put them side by side. Trump surrounded by Greg Abbott, Brandon Judd, and a legit border squad. He actually looked like the president of the United States today. Joe Biden looked like a silver alert. In a Daily Mail op-ed, Trump reminding Americans that his border trip was actually planned first. Trump was going there initially, and the president of the United States panicked, ran behind him, and followed him to the southern border. Who's really leading the country, you might ask? Trump goes first, then Biden scurries along after. writing, "The abolition of America's borders is Joe Biden's policy. The mass migration of millions of illegal aliens into the United States is Joe Biden's plan. This is Joe Biden's invasion." It's exactly right. Don't let them try to fool you. They're not trying to fix anything.
That's Rob Schmidt, and it's certainly not funny. But when he said Joe Biden looked like a silver alert, I almost spit out my coffee. And Rob also had a return segment of News from the Left last night, and I cannot let that go by.
Time now for News from the Left. While referencing the Supreme Court taking up Trump's immunity case, enjoy the fantastic legal prowess of esteemed scholar one Whoopi Goldberg.
Let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything.
Yeah.
You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could.
Well, Whoopi, there's an executive and there's also a judicial. There's also legislative. Biden really can't just throw anyone in prison if you have any concept of how the country actually works, which, of course, nobody on that show does, which is why that show is so stupid. But this is what happens when you let people who starred in Sister Act host political shows on major news networks. And ABC is somehow fine with all of this. It has got to be the dumbest show I've ever seen. Next up, New York's attorney general is drunk on power, now suing the world's largest beef producers in an effort to combat climate change. She's just going to sue the people that feed all of us. Letitia James is suing JBS Foods for allegedly not meeting their environmental quality standards of net zero emissions by 2040. By the way, it's 2024, honey bun. She accuses the meat producer of greenwashing by using false advertising to mislead consumers on their commitment to sustainability, and it's apparently endangering our planet. So she's worried about methane emissions, all of these cows. How much is she emitting, I wonder?
Rob Schmidt, host of Rob Schmidt Tonight, with the wildly popular News from the Left segment. All right, moving on to the news from Fulton County, Georgia. The testimony is over. Legal arguments got underway this morning in the Georgia election interference case against former President Donald Trump. This is over whether the district attorney, Fannie Willis, could be removed from the case over her romantic relationship with attorney Nathan Wade and subsequent events surrounding the said relationship. Don't forget, 18 other people were charged in this case along with Donald Trump, some of whom have already taken plea deals. Greg Kelly has been following it closely and has the recap.
They were romantically involved. Maybe it was casual, but they were hooking up before he got hired. Now, what difference does this make at this point? We all know, we know that she's not waging a kosher case here. What is the judge waiting for? He should fire these people or possibly throw out the entire case. The judge is weak.
Judge, he doesn't remember much of anything right now. And so I'm trying to create a timeline to hopefully piece this together.
All right. Well, I'm not seeing really the likelihood that that's going to have any success. I'll let you ask a few more questions, but if he doesn't have a date, then I don't know that you're going to be able to create one today.
All right, that's Judge McAfee. These proceedings were on every single cable news channel in America today, hours and hours and hours of this stuff. He should know by now that the whole damn thing is a sham. People need to be fired or at least removed. He reminds me of Judge Ito. Judge Ito, remember, during the O.J. Simpson case? Yeah, what a mess. That guy wanted that thing to go on forever.
Greg Kelly reports, 9 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. If Willis is disqualified and removed, a nonpartisan counsel will need to find a new attorney to take over the case. Then that person would decide to either move forward with the charges against Trump and the others, or could drop the case altogether, but it all starts with Willis. Greg Kelly said the judge is weak, and don't forget that we're talking about a case against Donald Trump. And the federal judge in Trump's classified document case in Florida, Eileen Cannon, is expected to set a trial date today. Cannon has already postponed multiple dates in that case, and she indicated last week that she would revisit the trial date during a hearing that's happening today. So everybody's kind of watching out for that. Yesterday, I mentioned Russian President Vladimir Putin's State of the Union style speech. Okay, hold on for that for a moment. President Biden will be giving his State of the Union next week, March 7th, right? Republicans announced Alabama Senator Katie Britt will deliver the GOP response to Biden's State of the Union. And it better be good. Okay, so back to Putin, who essentially threatened all of NATO with nuclear weapons yesterday. My colleague, Bianca De La Garza, had a great conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel and former Congressman Alan West.
Vladimir Putin warned NATO countries of the danger of a nuclear conflict if NATO troops are deployed to the ground in Ukraine. So here we are, conflicts around the world, wide open border here. Our adversaries seek to do us harm, not just abroad, but here. And this is all going back to a weak American president, no doubt, Colonel West.
No, there is no doubt about that. And when you just think about the visual, the optic of Joe Biden at an ice cream store trying to promote foreign policy and diplomacy with a comedian, basically a court jester talking about the Israel-Hamas conflict. The reason why Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Iran, North Korea, the Islamic jihadists, and the cartels are making their moves right now is because they sense and they see weakness. We've gotten so far away from Ronald Reagan's peace through strength strategy and maxim. And just consider the fact that we're about to have the smallest United States military, definitely army, since 1940, some 82 years, because of the reductions to our military, because they can't meet the retention and recruiting goals. So this is a bad message that we're sending all over the world.
Lieutenant Colonel Alan West on Newsline with Bianca De La Garza. Back at the open, I mentioned the death of another police officer. A court employee, Drexel Mack, was also killed while serving an eviction notice. It happened outside of Kansas City in Independence, Missouri, yesterday. The suspect then opened fire on first responders, killing 35-year-old police officer Cody Allen, a father of two. 35 years old, a husband and a father of two. Two other officers suffered non-life-threatening gunshot wounds as well. There hasn't been any information released as of yet on the suspect, but the number of police officers shot in the line of duty in the United States hit a record high of 378 last year. That is a 62% increase since 2018. Do we think that 8 million plus illegal immigrants running around the country is going to help that number go down? Be sure to keep up with all the news today and throughout the weekend on Newsmax, starting with Wake Up America Weekend Edition, Saturday and Sunday Agenda, Saturday and Sunday Report, America Right Now, the Gorka Reality Check, some great special programming as well, and much more. And if you're not yet watching N2, and Newsmax Plus, go to NewsmaxPlus.com for a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you, as always, for checking out the Newsmax Daily. I appreciate that. Like it or not, share it with your friends and family. Enjoy the rest of your day and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.